As we read this passage today, I want to remind you, as we go out on the beach later on this afternoon, that we will be a witness out there of what the Lord has done and is going to do. When you watch a baptism, what do you see? A baptism is such a simple act, but it has such a power of what it preaches and teaches to people watch it. It's a wonderful thing. Early in my ministry, I didn't get it. I didn't understand. I was trying to add to a wonderful tool that the Lord had given to me and make it better. And what I needed to do was just let me get out of the way and let Jesus show himself through that simple act. You know, we baptize this afternoon, and the people who walk by, however many hundred people are going to watch it as they go by on the beach. We've done this for years, and they'll look at that, and they'll not be thinking, "Oh, a cult is out here on the beach going through some secret ritual that's going to." They'll not think, well, the people out there, they're joining a club, and this is a special rite they have to go through. They'll not think, well, you know, those people that are being taken out there, they're taken out there against their will, you know. They're not going to think any of those things. One thing is going to go through their mind. Because even the person who is the most illiterate and ignorant about Christianity, about the faith, they're going to identify that act with Jesus. He's going to be shown. It's a beautiful picture. So, with that in mind, I want to read this passage from Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 25. Now, the Lord's been using Philip to do great and mighty things in Samaria. Persecution has come upon the church, and the Lord is just moving in different ways. Things are just happening, and you know when the Lord starts moving, it's like popcorn popping, and you don't know which direction it's going to come from. It pops and then all of a sudden it's like machine gun fire that's going on. You know, you put that bag of popcorn in the microwave and you hear the pop, 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 and then before long, you know, it's just going everywhere. An explosion is happening. Hear the word of God. Verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Stop right there. You got to stop right there. Put a stop sign to the Samaritans? Are you kidding? Who likes the Samaritans? I mean, come on, Jesus. The gospel's going to the Samaritans? Anybody like that in your life right now? That because of your attitude, they're thinking, well, should the gospel go to them too? The gospel truly is for everybody. Everybody. Be careful about your prejudices. You know? Well, Lord, save all of them except for that group. Burn them down. Verse 26. Now I want you to note the details of the story. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, stop right there. What do you think that angel looked like? You know what I think he looked like? An angel. How did he know it was an angel? Scripture doesn't say that. Just like I said to you, Genesis does not spend time defending, giving a list of apologetics about its truthfulness, about its veracity. It just speaks the truth. And you know it. The angel. He knew it was an angel. Angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." Anybody heard anything about Gaza lately? Is that ever in the news? Gaza Strip? Now, if you look on your map, don't look there now, but you go from Jerusalem, you're descending southwest from Jerusalem down to the coast, because Gaza's over there near the coast. "Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. Now, let's stop there for just a moment as we work through this. Why, if things are popping like popcorn where he is, and all this is happening, why is he going to be taken out to a desert place? Have you ever asked God questions like that? God, why are you leading in this way? Now, first of all, God is not bound to explain to us everything that he does, is he? Do you understand everything God does? Are there some questions you have you'd like to ask God right now? I guarantee you that 99% of those questions start with a three-letter word. Why? And most of you have, including Dusty, look at myself in the mirror here, you know, one finger there, three going back. We've convinced ourselves, if I just got the answer to that question, that'd solve everything. You ever felt like that? Do you feel like that right now? If you said, just give me one question, God, and you give me the answer to this right now, the why question, you give me that answer, I'll be satisfied. I promise not to ask you another one. Anybody sign up for that duty right now? Yeah, I think we could convince ourselves we could sign up for that. But you know what would probably happen? Is that when he answered that question, it would issue into about three or four more questions. Well, then if that's true, what? And if that, and it, God acts the way he acts because he's God. And we don't have to always understand it. But there was something waiting. We get the answer to this very quickly. God has a rendezvous. I want you to listen to me closely. The people that we're going to baptize today, back in eternity past, God had a divine, he knew he had a divine appointment with them. He knew the day, the hour that they would receive Jesus into their lives. He knew about it. Because he's God, he's sovereign, he knows everything, he's omniscient. All-knowing. He knew that was going to happen. So that's a comfort that we have as we think about God and we listen to his voice. And by the way, that's what we're talking about at 9:30 today. Talking about listening to God's voice. The comfort is that he knows everything. And first and foremost, what he's about is his glory. And the fact that through his glory and his love, he has divinely, in his sovereignty, decided to love us. He created us in his own image, struck us in his own image. We screwed it up. But in the middle of that, he has come to rescue us through his son Jesus, through His power and His love reaches out for all ages. That's what this story is about. That's what the Bible is about. It's a love story. It's about the love affair that God has with mankind, with each of you. So you can doubt everything else. You can say, oh, I don't know about that, I don't know about that. Let me say one thing you can't doubt, and that's the love of God. That He loves you, and He loves you personally. Okay, here's this divine appointment that Philip has with this very special individual. So, what does Philip do? He's obedient. Lord said, get up. What does Philip do? Verse 27, he got up. He got up, he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch. I'm not going to tell you all my eunuch jokes today. All right, what is a eunuch? Some of you youngsters don't know what a eunuch is. Here's a man that has been emasculated. He has had that part of him taken away. Why did they do that back then? In many cases, they did them for the Eastern sheiks because they had these harems of women, and they took that out of play. They took it out of play as a part. They became essentially an asexual person. So that then is not a part of any temptation, that they could be trusted with anything, anywhere, it would never come into play. Now, there's a list of other reasons. You can go and speculate about why they did that, but that's the primary reason why they did that. In many cases, they would use eunuchs in the courts of high officials, kings and queens in Eastern cultures, as it was there. It says the Egyptians were actually probably talking about the area of the world. They're actually ethnically Nubians. Nubians. And Candace is the queen mother, sits in a type of regency for the youngster who is to be on the throne at that time. So here's this eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who is in charge of all of her treasure. So you see the great responsibility that's been trusted to this one man. He has a singular job in his life, and that is to protect the treasure of the queen and of the kingdom at that time. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Stop. You ever ask the question, why has he come to Jerusalem to worship? How did he find out? What has already happened before now? Think about it. How did he get word? God's already spread his word. Now we know if you go back in Acts, you go back and you can see one spreading that took place already. You remember? Anybody? What happened? What am I talking about? Peter, day of Pentecost. And Jews came and went all over the known world from that day. How many were saved that day? The day of Pentecost? And then they went back home. So there's a possibility about how he had begun to hear. But it's quite possible, as we study in history, that the Jewish connection that there's there, that he had been exposed to the Hebrew Scriptures long before that, and that he had probably been reading the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of what we would call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, most probably. Because if he is a man of the world, if you were a person of the world during that time, you would know the Greek language. You know, no, the Greeks were in charge, but culturally, it was a Greek world. Greek was the universal language. There are just a few possibilities. But I want you to see that my point in all that is that God can do whatever he wants to do. But he was preparing this guy, a most unusual guy, most unusual choice,
But here's a guy of influence, and he has come to Jerusalem to worship. He knows that place. And he is there. Now, let's read on, because there's a couple of other things that stick out in the story. He was returning. He was sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. So, we got one or two choices. So, he's either reading the Hebrew text, a Hebrew scroll, or he's reading the Septuagint translation. One or the other. He's reading it. Now, what is he reading? We go on. Verse 29. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join this chariot." How important is it to hear the voice of God? To do exactly what... Now, he's already heard him say, "Get up. Go to this place." It's a desert place. You know, why are you telling me this? Has God ever asked you to do unusual things? Has he ever spoken to you in an unusual way? So he's obedient. He does it. And now, go up and join this chariot. Now, he doesn't know that this... Number one, he doesn't know this guy's a eunuch. Doesn't know he's representative of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He doesn't know that he's reading the scripture. But boy, does he get a surprise. Have you ever gotten a surprise like that? Someone you were concerned about, maybe someone you thought about ahead of time, and when you got there, you were all pumped up, ready. You know, Philip's all ready to witness. He's been doing that. He's been seeing the power of God. But man, here's God. God's already prepared one for him. And it's like he just puts this on silver platter before him. Because, now I want to remind you of something. The people that God puts on your heart to share the gospel with, people you're concerned about, your family, your friends, work associates, I want you to know, we always think about them. We're thinking about it coming from this direction. Everything from us, we're thinking, oh, I've got to share the gospel with them. I've got to do this. I've got to make it sure that they understand all this. But what we forget is this part over here, that for a lifetime, God has been speaking to those people. And he has been moving them to this point in time, to this divine. You see, it's a both and. It's not an either or. It's the Spirit of God moving, driving him. And God gets his attention. Yeah, he uses an angel to call him to do this. So Philip, verse 30, he ran and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Now get this picture. We forget about how this looks. You're out in the middle of the desert. On this desert road, you're out there, you're driving around, tooling around in your convertible. You know, that's what he was probably in, you know, his convertible chariot. And all of a sudden, this kind of weird guy starts running at you. Now, what are you going to do? That's when he pulls out his 9mm. I mean, And, you know, what do you do? He runs up and he hears them. He hears words. Now, do you think he ever in his wildest imagination would think, here's this Nubian guy, that he's going to hear Isaiah 53 coming out of his mouth? By the way, on the revival circuit that Philip had been on, I would guess that Isaiah 53, since it is the gospel according to Isaiah, I would imagine that it was one of the favorite texts of all of the evangelists since Pentecost. I would imagine that as you read it, because it is a perfect picture. You can go back and read it later on. It is a perfect picture of the Messiah and his first coming. Also some hints of his second coming. And he said, verse 31, Philip ran up to him. He heard him reading verse 30. Isaiah the prophet said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" That's kind of abrupt, isn't it?
But by this time, hey, man, let's cut out the niceties. We're just going to cut right to it because we have a divine appointment. Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, the eunuch said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? What is he saying by that? What does he already see Philip as? A gift from God. A gift from God. That God's going to speak through him. See, here's a man who's already been seeking the Lord. But even in that, that's not a good description. Here's a man who has been listening to the voice of God for a while, and he's been responding. Talking about the eunuch. He's been responding. He's been responding in to such degree that it drove him to take a trip all the way to Jerusalem to worship this God, this Yahweh that he has discovered. Now, the passage which he was reading is this. From Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. Who's that talking about? Jesus. His death on the cross. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth and he began, from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. What does that mean? He put it in Philippese. He put it in language that God had given to Philip to speak the gospel to this man. Now, something else about the story. Don't miss it here. As they went along the road, they came to some water. Now, they're riding together. and all this is going on. They're reading, you know, and he's sharing the gospel with him. You know, I mean, just imagine that picture. Have you got it? Have you got it in your mind? Some of us have read the scripture all our lives, and we never got the picture of what it looks like. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water. Now, we're on a desert road. It's not just a deserted road. It's a desert road. Go Google that. Go to from the Gaza Strip and go to Jerusalem and Google that and see how much water exists on that road. Just draw a line and see how much water exists. Now, so even the water had been appointed by God. Here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Time out. We got to ask another question. What in the world does he know about baptism? You ever thought about that? He's a Nubian, Ethiopia. He's come up there on this trip. What does he know about baptism? I guarantee you, this old boy has seen it. He's watched it happen. He's seen the picture of baptism. And it is riveted in his memory. He got the picture. And when he says, what does him mean to be baptized? What's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about, I got it. I've received Jesus. I'm ready to be baptized. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Lord. This afternoon, on the beach, we're going to ask the people who are going to be baptized, those who are going to be baptized, we're going to ask them to say out loud, Jesus is Lord of my life. The same thing. The same thing. That's what it's about. It's about proclaiming who he is. He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water. Philip was well as a eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, and by the way, they didn't go down. I'm sorry, but you short circuit the picture. He didn't go down so he could get a thimble and put some on the top of his head. It says they went down into the water. The word baptizo means to cover. It is a picture. It was a picture. And as we went in, and we're going to see it today. We're going to see there is the gospel. Jesus hanging on the cross, dying in our place. Jesus being buried and Jesus rising again. That picture was shown right there in the desert. God did it. It was that important for the Lord to do it. Isn't it important for us today? To do it according to His word. Did the baptism save him? Answer. No, never. Jesus saved him. The baptism was simply an act of obedience so that everyone could see. Because the Lord had already preached Jesus to that eunuch through a baptism that he had seen. And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Now, I don't know about you, but I've kind of got a cartoon picture of being snatched in that way. Could God have done it that way? God can do it any way he wants. He could have flown a Black Hawk helicopter to the Gaza Strip and landed it right there. We didn't have Black Hawk helicopters back then. God can do whatever he wants to do. Whatever. He's not bound by time, technology, and all. He's not bound by any of that. He's God. But the Spirit of God snatched him away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. I mean, can't you see? Here is Philip runs to the chariot and catches up with it, hops in the chariot, preaches Jesus to him. They stop, have a baptism, and then my picture is of all you see is that cloud, like the Roadrunner. Beep, beep, boom, and he's gone again in obedience to the Lord. You got the picture? You got the picture? But he went on his way, talking about the eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing, and Philip found himself at Azotus. By the way, that's Ashdod. By the way, that was the capital city of the Philistines. By the way, that's a place where great evil existed. That's a place where he was walking into the devil's domain. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Today we'll baptize the people that we baptize. It'll be a picture. We do it because, and I'll say this again this afternoon, we do it because Jesus commanded. We'll do it because it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We'll do it because it preaches the gospel, the good news, that all can come to Him and be saved. And we do it because it will be a testimony of everybody that is baptized today that this same Jesus who has saved those who have gone before has also saved. Have you received this Jesus into your life? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Savior? Same question. Do you have people in your life right now that you love, that you want to spend forever with that have never received Him. Third, would you like for God to send one of His angels to dispatch you, to send His Holy Spirit to empower you so you can speak God's good news to the people in your life? Would you be willing to place yourself at His disposal? The reason why Philip heard the voice of God and the voice of that angel was because he was what? Listening. And for him, hearing the voice of God and doing what God said were the same thing. You don't have one without the other. If you've never received Jesus, today is the day. He died for your sin on the cross by Himself. He rose on the third day. Power over sin, Satan, and death. He sits at the right hand of the Father today, waiting the time when He is going to come back and set this world right and set up His kingdom on this earth. Right now, His kingdom is in our hearts. He loves you. Maybe today you'd like to respond to Him, receive Him. Maybe today you'd like to get someone else and you come and pray. Did anybody before you came to Jesus weep over you? They loved you enough to weep over you? Are you weeping over anybody? You love them that much. Not a guilt trip. Honest questions about what really matters in life. Let's pray. We'll open the altar. You can come and respond to Him as you will. Whosoever will may come. Lord, we give You this time, we give You this day, we give You ourselves, all that we are and have. We don't understand so many things. But Lord, today, we know that You love us and that You gave Yourself for us. I'm praying, Lord, right now for anyone in the sound of my voice who is hearing this here, in this room, or those who will hear this on the internet, who hear this recording, who have not received the Savior, that right now, Lord, they can receive You simply by saying, Lord, I realize I've sinned, and right now I ask You to come into my life and be my Savior. Lord, we also pray for an obedience of those who have received You about the people in our lives who need You desperately, so they can join the forever family and spend eternity with You. Thank You, Lord. The altar's open.
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
We'd sure like to get those cards from you. You have prayer requests on those cards, information. We'd like to get those from you right now. If you have an offering to bring to the Lord, the baskets are here. There's one in the back. Another person I didn't see till I was halfway through my sermon here. We have a person who has been on a very large floating object out in the sea. Christian, would you stand up, baby, so I can embarrass you all together? She's in the Navy, and God bless you, baby. Oh, boy. And just continue to pray for her as she serves our country in this way. We're proud of you, darling. Proud of you. Proud of you. All right, if you have an offering, you can bring it this time.
Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. My anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
Look this way, if you will. Anybody here need a blessing from the Lord? I just want to see how quickly you'd raise your hand. Matthew and Don were in a tie there as to who got their hand up the first. That shows me that's right under the surface, the desire of their heart. We still got people who don't have jobs. We still have people who have needs. I want to pray for you as I send you out today. Lord, we come in agreement today with you. We ask you, Lord, cleanse our hearts. Cleanse us of anything that is not in perfect keeping with you. And Lord, as you do that, we ask for your provision. I'm asking you for for blessing. I'm asking you, Lord, for jobs, for provision, for families. And as I pray that, I'm thanking you for answers to prayer. Has God answered any prayers for you? Have you seen Him move? Have you seen Him move financially? Yes, we have. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we're trusting you with all of this. We bless you now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. See you at 5 o'clock.
Us we pray, unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are the church. We need your power in seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt.